What I'm going to share with you will emphasize one word. And this word, I'll tell you in about a minute or so, is very important concerning God Himself. But this word is about something that you will experience more and more for the rest of your life and forever. And also, what this word represents is going to flow throughout this meeting. Because we're actually going to not only hear about it, we're going to experience it. And what is the word? Love. Love. Now, concerning God, and everything I present, every kind of teaching I speak, is based upon the New Testament. And so, I won't be reading the verses. They're in me. But I would hope that many of you would just write down the chapter and verse. But that's not a requirement, but it's just a suggestion. God is love. That's His very nature. I'm so glad that was the last thing was presented in our singing. Love will conquer us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16. God is love. Then we know that God loves us. And we'll consider this for a few minutes. But we have this word written by, believe it or not, a brother even older than I am. I'm older probably than all the grandpas represented here. He was in his 90s, John. And so one of his last things he was writing, he said, God is love. Then he said this in chapter 4, verse 19 of 1 John. You love because God first loved us. Now we'll go step by step until we become something I honestly believe you'll never forget. Because the Spirit is flowing, the atmosphere is going to be permeated with the love of God, and you'll realize something a little bit tonight. But it will increase as you are developing humanly, growing spiritually. So let's begin with a verse that's very well known. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world, and here the world means all the human beings on the earth. Every race, every nationality, every kind, everyone on the earth is a fallen sinner. But God loves the entire human race, that He gave His Son for that we may have eternal life. But in what way did God give His Son, motivated by life? Then I go back to verse 14, where John refers to something that happened in the Old Testament, that Moses lifted up a serpent, not a living one, but an artificial one. And all those that would look on that would be saved. But this is a symbol signifying that Christ was lifted up on the cross and died for us. That is how God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that Son of God was incarnated. That is, He took on a physical body. He was a genuine human being. When He died on the cross, He died as a God-man. And all of our sins, all of them, He took upon Him and died in our place. Because the righteous judgment of God is this, that sin requires death. So we all have sinned, so we're all under that judgment. But God sent His Son to die in our place. This was an expression of God loving the world by giving His only begotten Son. Well, when we think about this verse, referring to all the people on the earth who ever lived, I guess I'm included. There's 8 billion of us on the earth now, so I guess I'm in somewhere. But there's another verse that I can just testify. I'm not going to try to prove. Just changed my life. And it was written by a man that we know as Paul, the Apostle Paul. But before the Lord appeared to him and made himself known to him and realized he had redeemed him, Paul was persecuting the believers. He even wanted to kill them. He was a terribly evil, fallen person. But when the Lord appeared to him, he was just shocked in a positive way. Then he realized, I'm this kind of person, but You died for me. You're saving me in this way. Then he abandoned, he forgot all his religion, and he just paid attention to this wonderful person, the all-inclusive Christ. But this is the verse that touches me. Every time I speak of it, it touches me again. It's from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. When He died, I died in Him. And I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and died for me. This is what you need to see. When Christ was on the cross, obviously He was a human being with a normal human body except without sin. But He was also God. And God has all power. He knows everything. So He died on the cross as the God-man. And as a man, He suffered and died for us. As God, He knew all of us before we ever existed. Eventually, you will come to read Ephesians chapter 1, before God created the universe, God knew you would exist. He knew you would be here tonight. He knew when you were born. He knew you were chosen to be a child of God. You're part of God's eternal purpose. And so when He was on the cross, all of us, as God understands it, was participating in this. And when Paul could say, He loved me, this is when it's real. If we just say, God loves everybody on the earth, that's very true. If we say, Christ loves the church, He died for her, that's wonderful, that's true. But when it becomes real to you, person to person, that Christ died for you, and He wants you to know this. He wants this to touch you. And He will never change this love. No matter what may happen, whatever mistakes you might made, it will not change. Because God is love. So when He died, yes, He died for all God's chosen people. He died for all the sins. This is true, wonderfully true. But the burden tonight is that little by little, sister by sister, brother by sister, it will be real to you. Christ loves me. You are here because Christ loves you. And there will be a time when you are with Him, maybe just for a few minutes, you and the Lord, and a verse in Romans 5 will become your experience. The love of God will be poured out into your heart. And now it's in you. And it will have a colossal effect. I go back to 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. And what will happen as you're maturing humanly, some here are 12 or so, some are 17. There's at least one who is 80 plus. We're all in the same category, that God died, Christ died for us. He loves us. And the more this love is experienced by us personally, because it's flowing into us continuously, then what happens is we love. We love. We love Him. That's why, oh, a long time ago, like 50 years ago, I had asked the Lord to, before that, that was 73, ancient history, right? I asked the Lord a few years ago, please, sometime, lead me to write a hymn on this melody. And so there was that hymn about just loving the Lord, pouring out our being on the Lord. So this is the first part of my sharing. That Christ died for us, the motive was love. I mean, for God to give His only Son, and only God the Father knew how the suffering was beyond description. And when He was on the cross the second 3 hours, the Lord God was looking upon all the sins on Him, and judged him instead of judging our place. That is love. And when this becomes real to us, I repeat again and again, he loves me. I had a failure. I had a failure today. I have to come to the Lord as I am. I have to clear it up. But then I realize he still loves me. He died for me. And then without our trying, we are able to love him. But that's only this dimension, vertical. What will happen is, doesn't have to be tonight, it's not a command, we will love one another. All the same, like we're in one family. Don't you love all the siblings in your family, no matter the things that happen back and forth? But when it comes down to it, you really love them, and they love you. But we're all one family here. And don't take this as a command. I command that you love one another during this week of training. No such thing. It will just happen. But it won't stop there. It has to expand. And this will be a glory to God. You will not just love God, the triune God, and you will not only love one another, you will love all human beings without any partiality. You'll just love them because this is the love that we have received, the love that put Christ on the cross, the love that motivated Christ to die for us, the love that's gradually filling us up, making us the same as God is in love. We love one another. And then we'll just love all human beings without any bias. Every race, every color, every nationality, every class, the same. Because this is God expressed with his love. And so once this is more and more worked into our being, and if you read through 1 John, the love is being developed, it's being perfected in us. So it will just grow, just like your body's going to grow. I just wonder, maybe you're 6 feet. Are you 6 feet? Maybe you're going to keep going, huh? Well, but 10 years ago, you were not this height. So the point is, this is a simple picture of your growing and developing. So you just come to the Lord as you are, as you're growing humanly, the divine life, the love of God will develop in you more and more. And one thing that will happen, I believe, at least once in your life, through you, you will bring another person to salvation. Amen. There will be friends, there will be neighbors, other people related to you. And what a blessing this will be. Because the Lord's love, not just for you, the Lord's love for this dear person. And they sense something in you. They wondered, why was it? What is it? You want to know really? I learned something. It's real to me. Christ died for me. He loves me. He died for you. He loves you. Will you join me to really call on his name? Dear Lord Jesus, I open my being to you. I receive you into me. But there's another kind of love that we should not have, because we have to learn a little bit. I won't emphasize this too much, but for your protection, for your living in the peace of God in this present age in California, with the evil things surrounding us, I need to share with you something else our great-great-grandfather John wrote to us. So I'm going now to 1 John chapter 2. And in this little epistle or a letter, he emphasized love more than anything else. We love because God first loved us. How can you say you love God if you don't love one another? If we really love God, we love one another. But then he said this, do not love the world. Well, what is this? Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. And so the enemy, we bind him at this very moment in the name of the Lord Jesus, the victor, the conqueror of all the evil things. Do not love the world. Well, what does this mean? And John used this word in Greek. If anyone's interested, it's cosmos. Okay? But it has different meanings. Like in one place, God so loved the world, that refers to all the people on the earth. And that for God to say that he loves us, obviously that's love for persons. But there is another kind of love, because the world is not only all the people on the earth, and it's not only the world itself. You can say the whole world is collapsing. But here, the word world refers to a system including everything on the earth. So let me try to explain, at least a little bit. When man was created by God, everything he needed was provided by God himself. And even after sin came in, those who accepted God's way of redemption, he took care of them. But after one person murdered his brother, he left the presence of God completely. And the result was the people on the earth, without God, they had no interest in God. But they had to survive. They need food. They need clothing. They need a place to live in. They need something that will give them enjoyment. These are human needs. And so then the enemy came. Satan realized, aha, now what I will do is for everything they need, I will arrange a system and then control them through that. Okay, those who just want clothes. Okay, it's not a simple thing. Just, there's a whole system of clothes and people loving these things. Or some say they don't care about it. Oh, it's little music. That's another system. And so the whole world is filled with systems that take advantage of our needs and to try to draw us into loving that instead of God. Loving music instead of God. Loving this or that instead of God. And the verse also said, do not love the things of the world. Well, I don't know if any of you have your own car yet, but I'll give you an illustration of how someone loves their car. Because when I was young and had my first car, I have to admit, I loved my car. Well, how do I know that? Well, in two ways. One is, when I had to park it, you know, I'm going to work or going somewhere, I had to park it. And so I parked the car, and then I'm walking away, and then I look back and just say, don't worry, dear car, I'm coming back. I don't do that anymore. I don't love the car. I don't love my tie. I don't love my watch. I don't love my computer. I don't love my iPad. These are the things of the world. We need them. But the enemy wants us to love these things instead of loving God Himself. So that is why John said this, anyone who loves the world, the love for the Father is not in him. So what does this mean? This is something, again, little by little, you will learn. That God is your Father. The Lord taught us to pray in Matthew 6 to the Father. And it's a very touching thing to realize you have a heavenly Father. You were born of Him. This, like your human father, along with your mother, is the source of your existence. God is the Father. And there are times, again, you will learn this little by little. The Father wants to have fellowship with you. You need the Father to bring all your needs, all your situations to the Father. The Lord said this. You pray that the Father's name will be sanctified on the earth. People will stop cursing Him. They will honor His name. We pray for the Father's kingdom will come to the earth, for the Father's will be done. And then Paul said, tell the Father, but this is what I need. In order to live today, I need this. Then the love of the Father will be so real. But this world system opposes the Father. It's against Him. And I won't read this verse, but I'll refer to it in 1 John chapter 5, 19. This whole world system, education, science, medicine, business, government, military, it's all part of a system controlled by Satan. Using our needs as a way to take control over us. And so, When this is the case, we cannot and will not do the will of God. This is a separate subject. I'll just mention it. The will of God is God's plan and arrangement for your life. What He wants you to be, where He wants you to go for your education, whom you want to marry, whether or not you'll come to the full-time training, where you will live, where will you be employed. This is His will. But there's a rebellious will in the universe, Satan's will. And he wants to control you. No, I want you to be what I want you to be. I want you to do what I want to do. But by the Lord's grace to me, when I was young from my point of view, about 24, not so young from your point of view, I just made a decision for my whole life. I will only accept your perfect will of God for me. I will not accept anything you just allow, but you permit. A year ago, because I needed heart surgery immediately, I could have died. The sovereign God could have said, "It's over. Come to be with me." But the will of God was such that I would be still here for a while. That's His will. And so this is something. Maybe there'll be another opportunity, not through me, but through others. You will realize God has a purpose, a plan for you, a will. But it is opposed by loving the things of the world. And then loving the world itself. So that is why John is telling us that do not love the world. Do not love the things in the world. Doesn't mean you can't like them. You know, you don't have to eat food that you can't bear. No, you can like ice cream. I do, although I have someone here that in a proper way limits how much. You know, I'm not like pizza to have it once every 2 years. We can like things. This is normal. But loving them is another matter. Not to love things. May the Lord bless you all when you get your first car. You not fall in love with it. Otherwise, the Lord will have ways to do it. If you have a very rich person in the family buys you a Mercedes-Benz or whatever, you got a new car and you love it, and then after the meeting like tonight you go out and there's this big dent in the door on the driver's side. Who did this for my car? It's like I'm feeling the pain of it. Just a car. I have this coat. I'm not in love with it. When my wife and I were in Korea a couple of weeks ago, I had a suit made. I'm not in love with the suit. I'm not in love with the shoes. Even my flat feet don't love the shoes. We need them. We like certain things. That's normal. But it would be a great blessing if in your life the Lord will train you to love God, to love one another, to love people, to be thankful for the things that you need as a human being, but you do not love the world. You do not love the things of the world, because the whole world lies in the evil one. And so we just bring this. It's not a long message, just a little 40 minutes. This kind of love that you know. Not just you hear it, and if something in you receives it, but there's a prayer going up right now while I'm standing here sharing this with you. The prayer is going up, and Christ is praying right now. Don't ask me how. I just know He's doing it, and others can confirm this. He's praying for all of us that we will love God, love the things of God, not love the world, not the things of the world, that all of us will realize, yes, He died for all of us, redeemed all of us, but may it become real. May it be written on your heart. It says, Christ loves me. Christ died for me. And this Christ who loves you and who died for you is now the resurrected Christ. He's on the throne, ruling the universe, praying for us, but also as the life-giving Spirit, He's in you right now. He's in your spirit. You have this wonderful person who loved you and died for you. Now He wants to flow out into your heart, to make His home in your heart. And the more you allow that to happen, every part of your heart will be filled with the love of God. And you will be happier and more joyful and more peaceful than you've ever been, living under the leading of the loving Lord, not ruled by fear, but doing the will of God. And so this is the word love. God is love. And then one last point. Get ready for this. When God became a man in Christ, He became the same as we are, except without sin. So He had flesh and blood. He needed to eat. He needed to rest. He worked as a carpenter until He was 30. He was not a good-looking person. He wasn't popular in that kind of way. He died at the age of 33 and a half. But at the same time, He is the God Himself. And now in the indwelling Christ is making us the same as God is in life and nature. Just consider with your parents. Don't you have the same life as your parents? You have the same nature as your parents. You have the same complexion as your parents. You were born this way. Well, we've been actually born of God. He's our Father. So we have the life and nature of God. And that's going to make us the same as God in life and nature, but not God in the Godhead to be worshipped. And the reason I'm ending this way is God is love. And the time is coming. You will also be love, because you'll be saturated with God who is love. And what will flow out of you is love for God, love for all the believers, love for all human beings. This love will be the love of the bride of Christ Jesus. And He's coming for her. and the main characteristic of the one who will marry him is that she has the same love for him that he has for her. So thank the Lord. Christ loves you. Christ died for you. Praise him.